Blog Talk Radio.
a keeper for you in a lonely hour. If you know he's been good to you and you're not ashamed of owning.
Good evening. Good evening. Welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. It is March, the second year of our Lord, 2021, and you are listening to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. I am so glad that you have joined us tonight for our Bible study. We pray that you are well and everything is going well in your home, that you are taking every precaution to stay safe during these troubled times in our nation. We want to remind you that First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue, in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina, where our doors hang on welcome hinges. It simply means that you're always welcome to come and be a part of the rich religious experience that is First Baptist of Holly Springs. Because of the pandemic, we are worshiping virtually through our Facebook page. We ask that you will go there. Don't forget to like and share. Let your friends know that First Baptist is on Facebook. There on the Facebook page, you will be able to see our Sunday morning service. Every Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, we go live on Facebook. Every Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, so you can tell your friends and neighbors to tune in for First Baptist of Holly Springs Sunday morning service. You'll also find the link for the Bible study, which you're listening to now, every week there on the Facebook page. You'll find articles. You'll find some of the sermons that we have done this year and the Bible studies that we have done last year. You will find that all on the Facebook page. You'll find information concerning the General Baptist State Convention of North Carolina and also the Wake Baptist Association. So we invite you to go to our Facebook page. Go there and don't forget to like and then share so others will know that First Baptist is on Facebook. There are three ways in which you can give to the house of God. There are three ways in which you can contribute. First of all, you can go to our Facebook page. You'll find those three ways there. You can stop by the church between the hour of 11 and 12. Trustees are there to make sure they take care of all of your financial needs there on Sunday. You can also mail your contributions or tithes into the church on our Facebook page. You'll find the correct mailing address for that. You can also use the Cash App. We do have a Cash App for those who find it convenient, do not want to go out. You can use the Cash App. That Cash App starts with the dollar sign and the letters FBCHS, FBCHS. That stands for First Baptist Church, Holly Springs. You can be a supporter of First Baptist tonight. You can use the Cash App and you can be a supporter of the house of God. We thank God for all of you who are continuing support the house of God. Many of you have not come to the church, have not been a part of giving to the house of God, and don't think that that has not gone unnoticed. But we are asking that all of you who are members, particularly those of you who are members and all of our family and friends, that you will continue to support the house of God as we continue to come forth doing his duty and his honor. Tonight, I wanted to a couple of announcements, and then we'll go right into our lesson for tonight. First of all, I want to congratulate Sister Whitney Freeman, who is the winner of our Black History Trivia Contest on last week. We had a wonderful time. Those of you who may have missed it, you can go back and you can listen to that contest. Sister Whitney answered the questions very well, and we just wanted to say congratulations to her. She is the winner of the Black History Trivia Contest. Congratulations, Sister Whitney Freeman. We also want to remind you that second Sunday of this month, we will be celebrating Family and Friends Day. We certainly want to make sure that we have all the families represented. We'll make sure that all of us know that it is Family and Friends Day. We will be coming live on Facebook with our Family and Friends Sunday morning service. I wish that you would email or text your family and friends. Give them a link for the Bible study or for the Sunday morning service. Give them a link for the Facebook page so that they can see and be a part of the Family and Friends Day. It is the second Sunday in this month, and, of course, we are celebrating Family and Friends Day. all families and all friends. Of course, we expect that you will make your reports and that you will do what we have been doing over the years as we celebrate Family and Friends Day. We are preparing, we're going into a new phase. We are preparing for a soft opening of the church very soon. The governor has released or relaxed restrictions for congregants. And maybe around the first Sunday of next month, we're going to prepare a soft opening for the church. Those of you who would like to come, we're still going to practice and take all precaution. Trustees are going to invest in a sanitation stations, and we're going to be taking temperatures. Of course, we're still going to be wearing masks, and we're still going to practice safe distancing. But for those of you who would like to come to the church on Sunday morning to see the church services live or to be a part of the church services live, we certainly want to open the doors starting maybe around the first Sunday. We're going to look at it week by week, but we are planning around the first Sunday of next month, the first Sunday of April. We would like to do that. And of course, those of you who would like to come can come. Now, this is a conversation that you need to have in your family. You decide whether this is something that you would want to do. Talk to your friends, talk to your family as to if they would like to do this. Many people have taken some of the vaccine. Maybe some of you are waiting to take your second part of vaccine. And then there's a time limit for those things to come into play as well. So we want to make sure that you have that discussion within the family and decide if this is something that you would want to do. We certainly understand that we are still in the midst of a pandemic. The pandemic is not over by no means. As a matter of fact, I heard a report today that there are many people who are thinking that the pandemic is over, who are thinking that since there is a vaccine that is out, that they can venture out and they can go back to life as normal. And all of the health officials are guarding against that. They're speaking against that. So we want to make sure that we take all precaution. We are still in the midst of a pandemic, but it seems as if things are getting better. We pray that it will continue to move in that direction. And I think another 30 days or another month will give us an opportunity to see if we can have what I call a soft opening for the church so that those who would like to come on Sunday morning to be a part of the Sunday morning service can certainly do so. We still will be coming live on Facebook on Sunday morning. We still will be doing the Bible study as well. So we want to make sure that take every precaution to do so if this is what indeed we can do to have that soft opening for the first of next month. Again, have those conversations in your homes, have it with your families. Maybe some will come, some will not, but we certainly understand because we are still in the midst of a pandemic and we cannot take anything for granted. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for those who are on the line. We thank you for First Baptist of Holly Spring. We pray now, God, that as we go into our Bible study tonight, you will open our hearts and our minds and make us receptive to your word, that we may receive a message from on high concerning the word that has been given and the study that is being given tonight. We thank you, God, for your mercy and for your grace. And this we ask in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Our lesson for tonight is entitled, The Promise of an Advocate. The Promise of an Advocate. This comes from the book of John, the 14th chapter, starting in verses 15 and 26. I'll pause for a second so that you can find that. John, the 14th chapter, starting in verses 15 through 26. Jesus and his disciples are preparing to celebrate the Passover festival. The Passover festival was celebrated in remembrance of the night that God spared the firstborn of Israel while under Egyptian rule. On the night that all firstborn Egyptians were killed, God passed over the homes of the Israelites. The Israelites had been instructed to wipe lamb's blood on the doorpost as a sign, and God passed over their homes. You'll find this in the book of Exodus, 12th chapter, verses 1 through 13. It was just prior to the Passover festival that Jesus is dining with his disciples in the upper room. Jesus knows that his time on earth is coming to a close. The announcement of his departure and the pending arrival of the Holy Spirit allowed several events that surprised and confused the disciples. In John 13, Jesus took on the role of a servant and insisted on washing the disciples' feet. Peter was so disturbed by this that he initially resisted. Jesus' servant posture foreshadowed his sacrifice on the cross. He was also setting an example of servanthood. He was instructing them, installing a behavior for the disciples to adopt. Even more shocking, Jesus then revealed to his disciples that one of them would betray him. John 13 and 21. And after the disciples questioned among themselves who it might be, Judas was revealed as the traitor and quickly departed. Jesus then began to explain that he must leave them. Again, Peter was disturbed that the object to what Jesus was saying. When Peter insisted that he would go with him, Jesus even told him that he would be the one that he would deny him three times. Consider how disheartening these events would have been for these disciples. It was at this point that Jesus began explaining the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The advocate is the Holy Spirit. Jesus describes the relationship that exists between himself and disciples. For in that 15th verse, he uses the word keep. That word keep means having a sense of watching over or guarding, or having a future tense meaning that you will obey. If you will keep my words, keep. He wanted them to understand that this was something more than just the word of keeping, but it was something that they had to watch over, something that they had to guard, something that they had to even defend. He used that term as keeping, translated in many ways, and you will obey. Obeying Jesus' commandments is a natural result of your love for him. This is the statement of relationship rather than a command. The disciples' love for Jesus will result in the adherence to their teaching. Jesus will ask the Father to send another, an advocate, who will remain with them forever. The counselor, advocate, is the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' physical absence, the Spirit will guide them in all truth. Their relationship with the Holy Spirit is only possible because of their relationship with Jesus, because their love of Christ will show and will allow them to recognize and receive the Spirit when it arrives. Here again, Jesus points to the nature when the Holy Spirit will reside both within them and beside them. Jesus doesn't intend to leave them fatherless. He doesn't want to abandon them. He will reveal himself to his disciples after his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Not only will he visit them physically, but he will send his Spirit. His resurrection requires and ensures that they will have new life. Modern day believers also have this new life in Christ because of his sacrificial death and his resurrection. And so this is what Jesus is trying to get over to his disciples tonight as we read this part of the scripture. He says, "If you love me, my commandments." Jesus begins this statement of the discourse with a conditional clause using the word if, and ends with a statement about the future. And he says, if you will keep my commandments. Of course, that's a hard word, that word if. The New King James Version translated like a command, but it is a conditional with a simple future tense verb, not an imperative. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. The sense of the Greek is that the events of the conditional are not certain. As a result, Jesus is indicating that the disciples have a choice in the matter. They may choose to love him, resulting in them keeping his commandments, or they may choose not to love him, and it is not a lack of omnipotence on Jesus' part. It is a part of concern of their having the free will. The disciples to either love or not love Jesus. He says, but if you love me, then you will keep my commands. Jesus is saying that the proof of their love for him is to keep his commandments. He would repeat this in various ways, both in both chapters, verses 21 and 23, and in several other passages in chapter 15 and 10. John also reiterates this in his first epistle in 1 John 5 and 3. In John 13 and 34, Christ defines his new commandment in one simple sentence by saying, love one another, and all that has been teaching them summed up on that one commandment when he said, love one another, and keeping his commandments. Keeping his commandments and loving one another is one and the same. For he told us by commandment to love one another. And if we love him, then we will keep that commandment. In verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The promise that follows seems to be directly linked to the preceding verse and the theme of loving obedience. It seems that his praying to the Father and the sending of the Comforter are conditional on the apostles' relationship with him, evidenced by keeping his commandment. This relationship would motivate him to pray to the Father on their behalf. And he shall give you another comforter. The word for prayer shed light on Jesus' relationship with the Father. It means to ask from another person or equally footing or familiarity. Jesus and the Father are both God, and this is the nature of their discourse. Because of Jesus' prayer, another comforter will come to the disciples. The word for another sheds light on the relationship of the Spirit to the Father and the Son. It is not the word of another, but is the word that comes directly from the Father. You see, beloved, at first all we had was God. God was all it was, but there was no God in the flesh. But then the Son came, and the Son was God in the flesh. And he lived among man, and man began to see him, and man was able to touch him, and man was able to be with him. But the Son did not come to stay forever. When it was time for the Son to go back to his rightful place, he said he would send the Comforter, who would abide and stay with mankind forever. And this is what Jesus is trying to get over to his disciples. This is the first of four times the function of the activities of the Holy Spirit are mentioned in the discourse. John 14, 25 and 26, John 15, 26 and 27. The idea here is that since Jesus is about to leave them, the Father will send the Holy Spirit, who will abide with them forever. The duration of the presence of the Comforter on earth with the disciples and the believers is not temporary, as Jesus' presence was, but it is a permanent, forever presence. We see here and we understand now how the Spirit works and how the Spirit comes in. There in that 17th verse, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now let me just take a minute to break this particular scripture down. This Comforter is called the Spirit of Truth. That's one of the attributes. This defines one of the functions of the Holy Spirit. The word Spirit actually literally means wind or breath. In the same word Jesus used to describe to Nicodemus the function of the Spirit in conversion. Truth is one of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. This is not surprising, since truth is a recurrent theme in the Gospel of John. Jesus says earlier in the chapter that he is the way, the truth, and the life. From these and other passages, we learn that Christ is the embodiment of truth. Here, the Spirit shares the same nature with Christ and communicates truth, testifying about Christ himself. Jesus used the term the world when he says, even the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. When he uses that term, the world, he means those who are unsaved, who cannot receive the spirit, and gives two reasons for their lack. First of all, they do not see the spirit because they are spiritually blind. You'll find that in 2 Corinthians 4:4. And secondly, they do not know him because they refuse to believe or understand him. That's 1 Corinthians 2:14. Christ says the sinful nature of the world causes people to prefer darkness rather than light. That's why I preached the sermon last Sunday. We need to learn how to walk in the light. Yes, we must learn how to walk in the light. Also, in that 17th verse, there's another point of interest that I want to bring out to you, where he uses, where he says, "For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Some interpret this as a continuation of the presence of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the believer. This agrees with the previous verse, that he may abide with you forever. Also, it also means that he will abide in you and be a part of who you are, become a part of your makeup. He comes into your life in this fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We'll find that in John 3:34, Matthew 3:11, Luke 11:13, John 1:31-33. This is what this act was during the day of Pentecost. It is believed that this was fulfilled on that day of Pentecost. Verse 18, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Jesus then assures his disciples of his continued presence. The word comfortless means that I will not leave you orphan. I will not leave you alone. Another rendering of that word comfortless. I will not leave you desolate. I will not leave you hopeless. Next use of the word is found in James 1:27, where the King James Version renders it, "I will not leave you fatherless. I will not leave you as an orphan. I will not leave you as if you don't belong to anyone." It is common in all practices, and particularly in the African American or in the African villages, when a young man was taken upon himself to learn a trade, he would attach himself to a master craftsman, and he would live with that master craftsman and learn from that master craftsman. And oftentimes, when the master craftsman would die, he would adopt him as his son, because he could see the work that was being done by this young man, and he would adopt him, and he would always sometimes leave him in his will for the young man. The master craftsman would love that young man because he was someone who learned under him, someone who he considered to be proper. And so he, oftentimes when the master craftsman would die, he would leave him something so that he would not be an orphan, that he would not be out there on his own. He would at least have enough to start his own business, have enough to do for himself. And Jesus promises them the further that I'm not going to leave you by yourself. When I leave here, I'm not going to leave you on your own. You don't have to fight this battle all by yourself. I'm going to send you a comforter. When times get rough, you'll have a comforter. When times get sad, you'll have a comforter. When there's persecution upon the church, I will send you a comforter. When there are those who will scoff at you and call your religion a bad religion, I will send a comforter. When there are times when you're going to be on the dusty road preaching the unadulterated word of Christ, I'm going to send you a comforter. And this is what he's want them to know. Going to be by yourself. Not only that, he also says, I will come to you. Now, this could be two things. First of all, we do know that Jesus did come back after his resurrection and spoke with them. He came and spoke with them many times. But it also meant that even though I will not be here in the physical sense, I will be here through the Comforter, through the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I will be carrying out the same as I have done before. You just won't see me. What you'll see or what you'll have is the coming of the Holy Spirit. And this is what Jesus wanted them to understand, to prepare their hearts and to prepare their minds for, again, belief without seeing. You see, they had no problem with him as long as they could see him and be in his presence. But for them to realize that he was soon about to go, I imagine many of them were disheartened. But he wanted them to realize there was no need to fear. There was no need to be disheartened, because there would be a comforter who will come in my place. Verse 19, and yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you seeth me because I live. Ye shall live also. Jesus states that the world would not see him because he would soon die and ascend to heaven. He further clarifies that the disciples will be able to see him because he would live again and give them access to eternal life through the power of the Holy Spirit. In verse 20, at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Here Jesus describes the nature of the relationship he would have with his disciples and all who would subsequently follow him. He says that they would have experienced his nature, his soul, and his thought through him and through the Father. They would be in him, and he would be in them in the same manner. And although he would be away, the Spirit or the Comforter would be in them. And this would be their rational connection and their reasonable connection to him. Even though they would not see him, they would have that connection. In verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Jesus says that if the disciples not only have his commandments, but obey them, it is proof that they love him. This love for him will be rewarded with love from both the Father and the Son. Jesus said that he will manifest, meaning that he will bring forth, he will exhibit, he will show himself. He will view himself to them. This would happen through the coming of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Judas said to him, not Iscariot, Lord, now is it that thou shalt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? How is it that thou manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? This Judas shares the name with the disciple who betrayed Jesus. He asks how Jesus can show himself to the disciples, and not to the world. And Jesus gives him the answer in the next verse. He says, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Jesus says that if a person loves him and obeys his words, then the Father will love them, and Jesus and the Father will come and make their abode with that person. Here Jesus is speaking of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. This will be the method in which Jesus will manifest himself to his disciples. In verse 24, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my saying. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Verse 25, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Now, Jesus goes back to the love motive again, stating it positively. He reinforces the truth about loving him and keeping his commandments or his teachings. He says anyone who does not love him would not keep his teachings. This is akin to the verse 17, where we learn that the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit because they do not love him. They do not know him. In essence, he who rejects Christ will not even listen to his teaching, and in effect also reject the Father, since Jesus' teachings are of the Father. Let me say that again. In essence, he who rejects Christ will not only not listen to his teaching, but in effect he is rejecting the Father, since Jesus' teachings are of the Father. We'll find that in Luke 10, 16, John 3, and 36. Jesus refuses to take glory for himself and says, "For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known unto you." Again, he gives the Father total credit for his teaching and for saying, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak." And this is anytime you would hear Jesus speak, he would always speak from the Father. He would always talk about what the Father would say. The rejection of Christ and the rejection of Christ's teachings is therefore tantamount to rejecting of God himself. These things spoken includes all the teaching. It's not limited to his immediate teaching, but all the things that he's been talking about for the whole 3.5 years he had been on earth. Sometimes they wanted to pick and choose what they wanted to listen to and keep. And then at other times they would just, you know, be laxed and not remember his teaching. But with Jesus saying, "In all of the things, all the teachings that I have given you, remember all of them, not just one or two things, not just the things that you like that I said, but remember all the things that I have been teaching you while I have been with you. Only that way will the Holy Spirit do its work." It goes with the tone in which he started the discourse, is that it's confronting the encouragement to view of his imminent departure from them. They must adhere to all the things that he had spoken to them. And then in verse 26, "But the Comforter, which the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you in all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." The conjunction "but" at the beginning of this verse clarifies the point of the previous verse. There Jesus seems to say, although I've been teaching you in person and will soon leave you, you are not losing anything. Since you are about to receive the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whose work includes bringing you to remembrance of all my teaching. Here Christ mentions both the office and the name of the Holy Spirit, both of which we have come across in the earlier verses of this chapter. In verse 17, Jesus refers to the third person in the Trinity, Spirit of Truth. But here he calls him the Holy Spirit, intentionally distinguishing him from many other parts and many other spirits that other people may have heard of or known of. As we have already noted in verse 16, the Holy Spirit is from the Father. All other spirits are not from the Father. Only the Holy Spirit is from the Father. And we must understand today that the new thing here is that Jesus is a medium through which the Holy Spirit will be sent. This is the significance of the Father sending the Spirit in Jesus' name. And that Spirit will also act as an advocate, one who speaks out, one who protects, one who encourages, and one who communicates. We need an advocate. We need the Holy Spirit to be our advocate. Because of so many things that we have done in life, we need a spiritual advocate. We need someone who will come and stand and speak for us and stand up for us and protect us and guide us. And when those who speak against us, it is the Holy Spirit who will speak up for us. The Holy Spirit will have a dual function. He will both aid the disciples by recalling all that Jesus taught them, and he will also teach them themselves, and he will also be their protector and their guide. We need an advocate. This is the promise of the advocate from Jesus himself, that the Comforter would come, and he would form many functions. Those functions would all be edified through the love of Jesus Christ. And through him, we would have a great advocate who would stand before us and stand beside us as we come before the Father in all of our sins. For we know that none can come before him except they come through Christ. So we are glad tonight that we have the promise of the Comforter, the advocate that Christ will send in the latter days. This is our lesson for tonight. I'm going to open the lines. There may be some who would like to add something to the study. Many of you may have read the study, and you may have something that you would like to add. Certainly want to hear what you have to say. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to the phone lines and see who's on tonight. Let's see. Let's go to area code 919-5440. Are you on the line?
Good evening.
Hey, Whitney, how are you?
Hi, good. And thank you for the congratulations. How are you?
Doing great. Doing great. Thank you for participating in the First Baptist Black History Contest. We thank you so very much for that. What do you think about the lesson for tonight?
I really enjoyed it.
What do you think about
I
that
comfort? I enjoyed it. I'm so thankful that he's here, that we have him. And do you have any questions for me?
No, not right now. I'll come back to you.
Okay.
All right. All right. 919, last four digits, 2329. How are you tonight? 2329.
I'm fine. That's right. Personally.
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
Do you have anything you'd like to add to the lesson?
Yes, sir. Just give us, just let us know that whatever we need from the Lord, if we ask, we can get it. But also, we have to stay, the word is not in tune, I'm looking for, but that's all I can think of right now. We need to read out the word every day. We need to study the word. We need to read the word, and anything that we ask God for, he will provide it for us. And to know that when we don't know what to ask for, the Holy Ghost will speak for us. That is our Comforter, and well, Holy Spirit, as people say, will speak for us. And if, as the word says, if we love him, as we say we do, then we ought to be able to learn how to love one another. And the question is often asked, how can you love God that we've never seen, and we can't even love our sister and brother?
Amen. Thank you so very much. Amen. That's exactly what he was saying. That's exactly what this lesson is about. Let's go to area code 910, last four digits, 5088. Are you on the line? 5088.
Can you hear me, Pastor?
Yes, I can hear you. How are you tonight?
Fine, you?
You have anything you want to add to the lesson?
Yes, I am glad that the Holy Spirit was left for us. The Comforter was left for us to protect us and keep us from danger. Dangers that we see and some that we don't see.
Amen.
We
Amen.
Have that protection. We have that protection from him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Area code 919. Last four digits, 2534. 2534. Are you on the line?
Yes, good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
After this word, I am as they say, I am blessed and highly favored. As I was listening to the great lesson that was taught tonight, the only thing I could think of was the old, I guess it would be a hymn, "Oh, How I Love Jesus," because he first loved me. Like Jesus, you know, he already knew that this Christian walk, this life was going to leave us lonely sometime. It was going to leave us heartbroken sometime. It was going to leave us with questions on our mind. But him knowing that he was just going to be here for a little while, thought enough of us to leave us yet a comforter, not physical, but yet the spiritual one. And that is just so powerful. It's something so big, a lot of times we can't even fathom that. We can't even think about how we really are blessed. And that's just a blessing in itself. I thank God for the word tonight.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Deacon Taylor. Thank you so very much. 919-2314. Are you on the line?
Yes, this is Ms. Mangum. Hi, everybody.
Right, how are you tonight?
Good evening. I'm good. I enjoyed the lesson of Reverend Rogers. The 15th verse was, "If ye love me, keep my commandments."
Yes.
And, you know, obey. And that was one of the things I went to, that took my mind to the 10th commandment. You know, like, you know, you shall have another God before me, you know, and keep the Sabbath day holy. Thou shalt not steal, and all those things.
Amen. Amen. I want to ask a question. Deacon Taylor, in one of the verses, Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Truth. Why is that an important attribute of the Holy Spirit?
Because in my thoughts and my words, Pastor, when Jesus called the Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, number one, because it came from God, and God is the truth.
Right.
You can't take anything away from it. You can't add nothing to it. It is what it is. It's straightforward.
Absolutely. Sister Whitney, I'm going to ask you a question. In verse 17, Sister Whitney, it says, "Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot see or cannot reveal or receive." What do you think is the stumbling block of the world not seeing the Spirit of Truth? What are some of the stumbling blocks?
I think we all have the Holy Spirit in us, and if we listen to him, that's our conscience, and if we choose to listen, we can live righteously and live in our truth. But I think what we do is we know it's right, but we don't want to listen to it. We want to love what we want to do and not what God wants us to do. And so I think, to me, that means the world, we want to live in the ways of the world and not the ways of God. We don't want to live set apart. We still want to do what we want to do.
I agree. You know, we live in a fantasy world. If you look at TV ratings, you'll find out that the most popular TV shows are called reality shows, and those reality shows are really not reality. They are fake. And we love to live in a fake world. We love to live in fake scenarios. And when we are often confronted with truth, we have a tendency of running away from truth. It's like I always talk about roaches when the light is cut on. We have a tendency to run when the truth comes out. Truth crushed to earth will rise again. We've heard that over and over again from all of our leaders as we have grown up. Truth is something that you just cannot get away with. Even though truth may be buried, it will rise again. And I think that so many people are afraid of truth that we have this condition in our minds to not even desire what is truthful in the world today. First Lady, let me ask you a question here. In this verse, when I was talking about, I said, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. This word, if, that's a big word. We say if. What do you think is a stumbling block to the if? Because there are many people who claim to love him, but yet they don't keep his commandments.
And your question is, Pastor?
Why do we use that? Why do we think that term, if? We look at it and we think we'll pass over it. And we think that, of course, we will. But in actuality, some people don't. If, meaning it's a condition. In other words, it's on you to love him. That's what I'm looking for. What do you think is the stumbling block for that?
Because if you, and you're right, you somewhat answered the question.
Yeah,
in our hearts and in our mind and our spirit, if we do, if we love him, why can't we keep his commandments? We do a lot of lip singing, lip talking. That's why the word if is in there, because God wants us to know that if he's trusting us to say what we believe and believe what we say. And we often say, we say it every day or every night or every Sunday morning, we love the Lord. I believe we only love him because we think he can do something for us. But what about if he never did anything, would we love him? It's something what sometimes I may say to you, if you love me, you will show me. A lot of times people will say to each other, I love you, but you don't show it. So if you love me, you show me. So that's what the Lord is telling us. You say you my child. So if you love me, keep the commandments that I have given you to live by. And we don't
do that. Amen. I agree with you 100%.
We put stipulations on that if.
Mm-hmm.
Some people think, okay, God, if you give me this, I'll love you. But he shouldn't have to give us anything.
Right. Mm-hmm. Ms. Mangum, did you have something you want to say?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that word if, I'm backing off first lady there. It's a word that it's a sign of we use it a sign of a condition.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if you don't do it, you don't get this. If you do it, you do get this. Mm-hmm. Right.
Condition.
Yeah, I understand. That's a great way. In this lesson, Jesus is basically talking to his disciples, but he's actually talking to all who would come after him. He wanted them to know this because it was their responsibility to teach others who would come after them. So if they could not do it, how could they teach others to do it? And this is why he had this. This is why he had this conversation with them in the upper room that night, because he wanted to first instruct them on how to instruct the people. And this is how the word would get out, and this is how the commandments would be kept. It would be passed down from one person to another if the people had a heart and a mind to love Christ. Anybody else got anything else they want to add? Well, that's it for tonight. I thank you for tuning in tonight. I didn't have a lot. This is a long lesson, but yet still, someone had something to say?
It sounded as though someone was trying to either ask something or say something.
I was going to ask, so when you say teaching the disciples, are you meaning when he would speak to the people and they would always still question, like when they were out and in the storm on the waters, and in that moment they still couldn't trust that he would protect them and keep them from drowning, and he would constantly say, have you not learned yet? Like, do you not understand yet? So is that what you're meaning, why he brought he gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit in us? Because he knew that even the disciples that were close to him that were seeing the miracles still questioned
right.
almost to the end.
Right. Well, I, that's a good question. I think that he knew that it would be hard for many to accept. He knew that it would be hard for a lot of people to accept what they saw or what they understood or what they heard. So, yes, that was the main reason for teaching the disciples. But also, this teaching is for all people because all of us have these storms in life. All of us come to these realizations where it's very hard for us to believe, very hard for us to love, very hard for us to understand that that's how the Holy Spirit works in us. Without love, there is no Holy Spirit. So people who go around talking about they love folk, but they don't show any example of the Holy Spirit, something is wrong with that. That's something completely wrong. As I said before many times, every child of God ought to have some type of spirituality in them. You ought to have something going on the inside of you. You ought to be able to discern some kind of spirit. You ought to be able to know some kind of prophecy or see something coming down the road. Where was all the prophets before COVID-19 got here? Where was all the prophecies before the rioters stormed the White House? If you got spirituality, there ought to be some kind of spiritualness in you. You ought to be able to understand some kind of tongue or speak in some kind of tongue or have some kind of understanding of prayer for healing and anointing of people. There must be something other than just being a church-going Christian in you. And this is why the Holy Spirit is there to aid you in all those other attributes of being a child of God. Just being a child of God is like being a knot on a log. You know, it's good, but it ain't quite good enough. You know, you ought to have something in you. People ought to have a little fear of you. I don't want to take it that far. I'm just saying that they ought to know that you are a child of God. And they don't treat you the same way they treat everybody else. Because they can see it on you. Mm-hmm. They can see that Holy Spirit working through you and working on you. And when they look at you, they can see that. And this is what Jesus wanted to tell the disciples so that they can instruct those who would come after them. It's very important for every child of God to have some type of spirituality working in you. Working in you. Yes, there should be. You can't be just a regular individual and be a child of God. There should be some spiritualities somewhere in you. A lot of times we have it, we just don't see it. You know, you say to yourself, I started to go down Main Street, but I decided not to go down Main Street. And later on you find out it was a bad accident on Main Street. That's that spirituality working in you, telling you not to go certain places or not to do certain things. You got to have that kind of spirituality going on in you, and you've got to listen to that. Mm-hmm. And that is what the Holy Spirit does to come and guide you into truth in all things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm. I'm through for tonight. I've kind of ran over time. Deacon Taylor, you still there?
Yes, sir.
How about giving us a prayer for tonight? We're going to end with that.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word that came to us tonight. We thank you for
Lord.
Being able to read those words and get a discernment.
Yeah.
Thank you for
Lord.
The teacher that was sent to break down the word to the people, Father. We thank you for what our hearts and minds have understood and felt. But we thank you for
Lord.
You being God and God all by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Father,
yeah.
We thank you right now for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the Christ that was sent to tell the people that there was to be yet another comforter to come and comfort you. And whatever time of grief, bereavement that we have, Father, I can't
Lord.
Thank you enough for your many blessings. Even in times like these, Father, you're still so strong. You're still a strong tower. You are still the one in charge. And we thank you right now, Father, for your many blessings. Thank you for having this Bible study in our homes and over the telephones, Lord. We thank you for the word and being able to get to us in several different ways. Lord, we ask that you help us, help ourselves, and open these Bibles and read and get a better understanding for ourselves, get even more study material to understand your word. Lord, we just want to get a little bit closer to you each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. You all have a good night, And we'll see you Sunday morning on Facebook Live.
I wanna see.